Gonna record our lives away. Hey.
It's
recording day with Quinn and Carrie. Gonna have a party time, and we're gonna have some turkey later, but not today. Because it's Thanksgiving next week, not now, but this episode will come right after Thanksgiving. So are you full? Are you stuffed?
Oh, so
are
it's gonna
you
be,
stuffed if, like a damn turkey?
If this is a Black Friday episode, I would like to say that there was a pretty
Friday.
Serious recall that went on that was for a Mattel doll. They were called Wicked dolls. I don't think they have anything to do with that.
Well,
the
you know,
movie Wicked.
Wait, no, but you know what happened on the Wicked boxes? Did you know what happened? Did you see this?
They had like a link that went to a porn site if you scanned it.
I mean, this is good stuff.
Which, can I just say, though, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel so good about our podcast. Here's why. We are throwing shit together. We are not professional. We know damn well you don't listen to this. Quinn, the last episode I edited, Quinn is chewing into the fucking microphone. Like, we are not professional in any way, shape, or form, but I can tell you this. We've never accidentally
linked to a porn.
And
we've
that is someone, that. And the multi-million dollar company that is Mattel that did that, like, that is, that person had a really bad day at the office,
They're
I think.
They're so brave. Oh my God, Mattel, just taking risks, just seeing like what kids are into these days, not really sure. Like, good for you guys.
Go
cast
off.
That hey, net.
Cast that net, see what happens. I'm enjoying it. I'm living life.
See if
life.
You pull up some porn in it.
See if you pull up some porn. Okay, speaking of, no, not speaking of, I finished Wheel of Fortune Live.
Wait,
by the way, did you already say
sounds like I'm drunk.
Did you already say what happened? Or did you already say the toy that was recalled? Was it the Wicked website one?
It was Wicked dolls, but they're not for the movie Wicked. They were called Wicked, though.
Wait, I'm confused because I know the porn site. Is that a different from the porn site?
The product that the porn site was on. Printed
yes.
on.
Yes.
Where if you
Is that what you were referring to? Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were like something else got.
No. That's the whole story.
Okay. Thank God. Hold on. Wait. I actually have to do
a Michelle had another thing they were recalling for a different thing.
They're like, this is turning to a murder. This is a murder podcast. This is a murder site.
Oh,
wait, I want to go somewhere. Hold on. I need to see what her name was. I'm cutting that part out, what I just said. Hold on. Okay, so I just finished my Wheel of Fortune. Insert drum roll. Quinn, go. Oh, it's so good. And I have to give a shout out because I was my last week. I was in Florida and I was in, was it Daytona? Where was I? Yes, it was Daytona. And I'm like going around getting stuff ready during intermission, and this woman calls and she's like, Carrie, and she stops me and she's like, hey, Carrie from Truly Darkly Creepily. And I was like, wait, what? And
yeah,
she was like,
that's
yes.
what the fuck.
And I was like, she was like, hi, I'm Gretchen, I love your podcast, I've listened to Crime of a Lifetime. She was like, I cried when they canceled it. And I was like, honestly, same. And then
honestly, not as much
honestly,
as I did, but go on.
So she didn't know I was even performing with the show, and we took pictures together, and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's you. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. I can't believe one of our two listeners is here.
Is here.
To be at Wheel of Fortune. And it made an idea where, Quinn, I think you and I need to develop a true crime game show. I think there should be a crossover between true crime game show vibes. And I think you'd
definitely
be the perfect
person. Definitely will get canceled, and it's definitely worth it.
Definitely worth it. But I got to say, Gretchen, I want to give a shout out because she made my damn night. It made me feel so cool, But also it made me feel really, I felt really happy that there was someone who knew my pod. Like, it just was really cool to be recognized. And that was really fun. And so she wrote, we've been writing together, and turns out she has like all these crazy stories, which is are amazing. Like, she, her friend is one of like, one of the first certified female exorcists, and she talks about going to like ghost hunts, and that she can usually get like orbs on phones, and you know, Central Florida. She's also stayed in Lizzie Borden's house, and she spent the night at the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. Did Whoa. You cover that, Quinn?
I don't know.
Either way, she is the real deal. And so I just want to give a shout out on this podcast to Gretchen. It was so awesome meeting you. And thank you for making my night. That was really fun. So the tour is finished. I am back home in Chicago before I am Quinn's roommate. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Beggars can't be choosers.
Well, I'm begging. And I hope you're okay with me not choosing and just hanging out with you guys for 2 weeks. I'm so fucking excited, Quinn. Quinn is the best. Here's why Quinn's the best. Well, Quinn's the best for a lot of reasons.
You sound like Koa when you say that. He tells me that every day. He yells.
Okay, well then I need to give your, I need
out the window as I'm walking to work. Mama, mama. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're the best.
Here's why Quinn is the best. Starting last week, I've gotten dates. Dates. We're going to the Rockefeller Center. We're going to do a Diker Heights Christmas. Like, I'm coming in at the perfect time, and I get to tag along.
Holiday parties.
To the Posnosky family fun. Treats. And I know you party hard, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
We love the freaking holidays.
I love the freaking holidays. And I love the holidays.
Holiday with you, bet.
So anyway, I'm really excited.
Won't watch that movie, but.
I'll watch it with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's going to be holiday season, and I'm very excited. So thank you for having me, and I'm excited.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Would you like to thank, for the holidays, could I throw out a couple names?
Don't throw them. Gently toss them so I can catch them.
I'm going to gently toss you a Megan, but it's one of those Megans that's spelled with Megan. This is not an insult, but I do want to be honest.
Careful.
You got a lot of extra letters in your name. We can get to Megan so many ways, but you are really taking your time getting there.
Can you spell it? Can you spell it?
M-E-A-G-H-A-N.
Megan. I'm going to go Megan.
It's a lot of letters.
Not Megan. Megan. You know, but I think that's Irish. I think Megan is an Irish lass. She's a lass who has sass. Megan is an Irish lass who is so fun. Don't you last all night. To today, we love you so much, Megan. Megan, you have an A in your name and an H, and I don't care because that says, ah, Megan, ah.
Megan, you are the whole alphabet. We're never going to forget that you are a friend and you gave us money. That's the most important part of friendship.
An Irish dance, Megan. We're pausing for your Irish dancing. And three,
jig, jig,
and two.
Jiggity, jig, 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 jig.
Megan.
Great. Right. The next person's name.
I actually really liked that. That felt
you're
going
to miss here because it's not a common name. I don't know. But it's San, S-A-N.
San. San, you are the man of our dreams because I love your name, San.
We clearly don't have a plan. We're just over here making sounds, San.
I want to make sure
Diego,
I say,
have you ever been there? Maybe you live there, San. Then you might hear that joke a lot. Is it even a joke? Maybe I need a toke of something stronger. Gonna get there, but it's gonna take longer. Oh, San.
Like the San of time.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, let's never do that again.
Well, I wanted to make sure I said San's name. Don't we have three?
Oh my God, I keep hearing noises like someone's in this room, but it's because the walls are so thin and Matt's in the closet that attaches to this room and it sounds like there's a rat in the wall, but it's a big rat.
Did you?
Matt. A rat named Matt.
Did we have, was that two or three?
That was two. That was two and we'll do two in the next one because I have two
more. Okay. You're first.
We're doing two episodes, right?
Yeah. Oh. You're first.
Quit bossing me.
I'm gonna boss you around.
I wanna push you around.
Well, I will.
I wanna tell you stories about bears. I read about this guy and it was like in CNN.
Wait, gay bears?
No, just regular bears.
Damn, heterosexual. That's so annoying. You know what?
I don't know their sexual proclivities, these bears. But facts. What happened in my journey was that I first read on CNN that on October 18th, this guy called 911 and was like, hey, I'm Brandon Andrade, and I saw a guy fall off a cliff running away from a bear. And they show up on the scene in Teleco Plains, and they do find a dead guy. And he does have ID that belongs to the name Brandon Andrade, but they're like, hold up, that's not him. This is very fishy. And in fact, the ID had been stolen prior to this and used a bunch of times. So they're like, what's going on? And they uncover that the guy that called them, Nicholas Wayne Hamlet, who is 45 years old, was using that ID. He was on, he was wanted in Alabama and he was on parole, but he was like in violation of his parole.
Yeah.
So he had nabbed that ID and was using it for all these things and trying to get money and stuff. And so then they're like, hold up, the guy that called us is that guy for sure. And we got to get him. So they throw out an arrest warrant for first-degree murder. And they're like, this guy is armed and dangerous because did that guy run off a cliff being chased by a bear? We're not so sure about that. And the guy that was dead, his name actually ended up being Stephen Douglas Lloyd, 34 years old, and he had a mental health disorder. And he was living on the streets. And he had become friends with Nicholas. And he trusted Nicholas, and then Nicholas somehow lured him out to the woods and killed him and took his ID. And then called the police to be like, this guy fell off a cliff. Like, he tried to make it look like a bear attacked.
I feel very confused by these people, because there's three names, right? There's three names. There's Brian, there's Nicholas, there's Stephen?
Yeah. True.
Okay, so wait, let me see if I can get it, because I just want to make sure that I'm following. I hope this is okay to stop and ask. Yes. So the police get a call from, quote, Brian. Brian is like, help, there's a bear. The police go and they find Nicholas dead.
Here's how I screwed it up. Listen, this is what the confusion. As far as I know, Brandon Andrade might be totally fine and okay.
Brandon, okay.
He was using that. So imagine that, okay, what I think happened in this order was that this guy, Nick, steals Brandon's ID. We'll just use their first names. It'll be easier.
Please.
Nick steals Brandon's ID. He's running around and using it. Then he murders somebody and sticks the ID in their pocket is what I think happened.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wow.
But why?
Because then he's like, well, I can then burn this ID and I can just go find a new ID. And no one will find me, the guy who's been on parole. But turns out they
I did the whole story wrong. I think.
I hope we keep this in so bad.
I mean, I'm just like pretty confused by it. But I think what happened actually.
Do you know what I mean though? Sometimes we cover these cases and I'm like, fuck. I'm a little confused, but when I say it to Quinn, I think I'll be able to figure it out.
Sometimes I couldn't figure it out, and
I'm just gonna double down and be like, well, this is the story I'm bringing today, so that's what it's gonna fucking be.
And it's $1.99. Story. Nothing more, less.
For the record, we are 199 episodes in.
Based on a true story. Patreon. Based on a true story. My story is based on a true story.
I did bring Practical Magic one day. Like, at this point, like, it's all fucking bets are off.
You guys, I have so much homework. Like, it's finals. I've been doing paper after paper. And then I'm, like, reading this bear article at, like, 1 a.m. My eyes are crossing.
I think that
Gretchen really regrets the somebody shutter. Gretchen's going, maybe I'm not going to listen to the podcast anymore.
Ugh, someone died, someone didn't. I don't know.
Someone died, someone didn't. That's just a lesson.
Here's the truth.
That's just a lesson every day.
I don't know someone what happened. Died, and here's the truth. I knew this was going to be a train wreck. So once I realized it was going to be at some point, because I was like, all right, something happened. I then just got on this guy's website. This is what happens in the middle of the night. Is this guy Todd Orr? It's his, like, his own website, and he's just talking about how he was attacked by a bear. Do you guys just want to hear that story instead and pretend the other one didn't happen?
Did the other one – is the point of the other one that a guy claimed to call someone and was like, help, I'm being chased by a bear, as like a way to frame a murder? Is that what happened in that previous story?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, that's actually – that's more interesting than – I don't need to know who dealt – I love the idea of a
criminal
being like –
There's a bear entry point, and that's what mattered to me, is that I wanted to talk about bears. Just, it's Thanksgiving.
I really like the idea, though.
Stop. I'm going to send a bear to kill you if you keep laughing.
Sorry, okay, so we need to know is, I love the idea is, like, as a criminal, though, you're going, I know how I'm going to get away with this. I'm going to call from my phone and go, help, help, a bear's following me. And then when they find the phone with the body, they'll go, wow, that must have been what happened.
That must have been what happened. That bear got him. Yeah. God.
Criminals everywhere, take note.
Hey. You guys, bears are serious. Todd Orr will tell you why. One fall morning, he's going on a hike in southwest Montana. A big hike. I mean, not that big a hike, but he does go like 3 miles.
It's a hardy hike.
It's a hardy hike. He sees a grizzly, which we all know are the worst kind of bear. Actually, I think polar bears are the worst.
I don't know the difference between, like, you have to stay still with some and some you have to scream loud. And I forget the difference.
There's like a song about what to do with black bear, brown bear, and white bears. I can't remember.
White bear,
either.
Make sure your life white is bear, in order because you're dead.
I think white bear is, yeah. Dead. White bear is like, you're dead. It doesn't rhyme, so it's not a very good song. White bear, you're dead. But
brown bear, what do you see? I see a fucking white bear, and I'm dead now, you see.
I see a murderer framing me. the lesser known so children's book. So... he sees a grizzly bear. The grizzly bear has babies, which is the whole thing. When you start going down this rabbit hole or this bear hole and reading about attacks, there's always a situation where they're not just like attacking for their fucking health. They always are trying to protect their young. But you don't have to do anything very threatening for them to be like, I'm going to protect my young, which is can just be like, so you're in the neighborhood, die. Like, it's very intense. Oh, so this Jesus. Guy is like, watching this bear go over a nearby ridge with its cubs and is like, am I safe? I can't tell. But decides, yeah, I think I'm safe if I just keep going in the opposite direction. So he starts to go in the opposite direction, but then he turns around and sees the bear coming at completely insane speed. He says, like, in movies, you might see them and they're like, dodon, dodon. He's like, they're like cheetahs. Like, this thing is running. Where there's almost nothing you can do, it's so fast. And so he grabs his bear spray out and he takes off the safety clip and he starts yelling because he's like, maybe the bear's confused about like what I am. And if I yell, I don't know, they tell you to be big. They tell you all these things. So he's doing that. It does not matter. And in seconds, the bear is on top of him and he's pushing down the bear spray thing and blasting as much as he can into her face. She goes straight through the spray.
My God.
He flips himself, puts his face in the ground, and does this thing where you interlock your hands behind your head. Basically, you're just trying to protect your vitals. So you're on your stomach. You're trying to cover your throat, your face, all that stuff. And he feels the bear biting the back of him, biting his arms, biting his shoulders.
And
he says he can hear muscle like getting torn.
No, quit.
But he has a backpack on, so he's also hearing that. And then the bear runs away and he just lies there a minute and he's like, holy shit, I am badly hurt, I am definitely not dead. He waits, starts to calm down, turns around, sits up, turns around,
here comes the damn bear. And he's like, are you kidding me? He does not have time to grab the bear spray. He also has a pistol he does not have time to grab. And he gets knocked back onto the ground. And the same old, bears be doing what bears be doing. So it's biting him. And he likened the feeling of the bites to a sledgehammer hitting you, because he's like, it's not just the pain, it's the force, like the sheer force of this thing.
Yeah.
He could hear his bones breaking. His hand starts to go totally numb, like because something breaks in his body that's attached, like maybe a nerve. Yeah. So he's like, when that happens, when his when that nerve gets bit or whatever, he makes a noise, like a groan. And when he groans, he can feel that, like, him groaning triggers a deeper frenzy. Almost like the bear's like, you're still alive. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're like, so he's like, okay, I have to play dead at this point.
Dead. Oh,
so
my
God. Stops making any noises, but the bear keeps attacking him, and it's batting him with its claws. It's biting him with his teeth. And he feels it himself get like a bite on his head that pulls. And he said he felt like he nearly got scalped. She was lifting him off the ground with teeth and claws, slamming him, bam, back down into the ground. And he's like not making a sound. And he's like, I'm definitely gonna die. Suddenly the bear stops and just stands there on top of him, like just standing on top of him.
That's a that's and a he can just pound hear, fucking bear.
He can hear the bear like, and he's just like not breathing, like not making a move. The bear's on top of him, and she stands there for what is like half a minute, and then feels her step off him, listens to her walk away, waits, 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 tries to think like, where's the bear spray? It's like, I think that she knocked it way out of my hand. It's not close. Where's my pistol?
Can he move his hand? Can he like even...
So he goes to reach where he knows the pistol is. It's gone. So he's like, the bear must have knocked the fucking pistol away too. He has blood all over his face, and he finally has to take this risk where he like brings up his hand to wipe some of the blood away so that he can look, and the bear's gone, and he dives for his pistol, grabs his bear spray, and he like has his pistol, has his bear spray, and he's looking around, and the bear's gone. And he has to hike out of there. It's a 45-minute hike, but he's able to do it. When he gets to the trailhead, nobody's there. It's still super early in the morning. And he thinks about writing a note where he's like, should I write a note that says, like, warning, there's a mama bear and cubs? And but his hand doesn't work. Like, he can't, like, have the dexterity to write.
Yeah.
And he's bleeding so much that he's like, I feel like he was, like, clear. He's like, I just checking in with the blood. It was not going to be a thing where I bled out. But I was covered in blood in a way where if I wrote a note, it would be like chicken scratch covered in blood. It would look insane. So he's like, I just have to get out of here. So you're going to love this about this guy. Gets in the car, takes some selfies, takes some selfies of the wounds and stuff. Because he's like, my hunting buddies. But I'm like, yeah, you're still going to be injured when you get out of there. But he said that he felt so relieved when he got in the car and locked it, like to suddenly have that box around you. And know that it was over and know that you lived. And then he has to drive 30 minutes to the hospital. And so they do all these things. They do x-rays and all this stuff. And he has a bunch. It's what you would think. There's a bunch of broken shit and a bunch of areas that need stitches. And he has like bear bites in his hip from her lifting and throwing him down. And he's so lucky because some of the bites are kind of on his side, and it would have been so crazy if she'd gotten his stomach tissue, because she's biting all these like parts of him that are not by vital organs.
Right.
He did have two tendons severed in his forearm. He has to get surgery. They have to reattach the tendons and try to repair all this shredded muscle. A bunch of nerve damage, like we discussed, and he just like goes into physical therapy, and he says that he got like 90% of use of all his stuff back, like of strength, like in his hands and stuff. Like he's not like ever going to be 100, but it's a wild story.
That's, I remember, do you remember ever seeing The Revenant? Did you watch The Revenant?
Yeah. I couldn't believe that scene.
That scene, I have such a distinct memory of, I was in North Carolina doing a show and I saw it with my writing partner, TJ, and mm-hmm. he and I sat in the theater, and it was one of those theaters where you order food and it was like what you describe as the substance.
Yeah, where
and
you're like, there should be some movies where there's like a warning where they're like, probably don't get food for this one.
You know what, Quinn? I got to tell you, I saw The Substance. I could talk about it in the next podcast. I loved it. It wasn't as bad as you thought, as I thought it was going to be based on your, but I think it's because I had expectations that it was going to be far worse.
The most triggering part is the eating of the shrimp. Didn't you think?
I thought it would go, it was so gross, but I thought it would go on longer. It was like a short moment, but it was so, he was such a gross character.
He did a good job.
Okay, but I remember watching The Revenant and the bear scene, like I just remember that being just the most horrific thing. And that's what it's amazing this person is fucking alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Truly.
Truly.
Wow.
Guys, thanks for being patient. I'm glad that I brought that Todd story in because we all knew. Can't mess that one up.
Exit pursued by a bear. My favorite Shakespeare. Because you want to bring that up?
Yeah.
Or do we have any bear? I mean, I just remember being in Alaska and you know what? It sucks because I don't remember. But like, you don't know what a brown bear is or a black bear. I think a black bear is smaller, brown bear is bigger, but the color is not very clear. Like one has more like pointy ears, one has more like round ears. And one of them, I think, I'm not even going to try to tell you because it's a shot in the dark. But yeah, some you have to like act big and some you have to act small. And I'm like, the fact that like, I don't know what I would do in that moment. I think I just go, take me. You know what? I'm yours.
Yeah. So I looked it up. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
The bear safety rhyme is this. If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back. If it's white, good night.
It is. It totally is. If it's white, you're dead.
You're dead, motherfucker.
You're fucking dead. And
they do not leave anyone behind.
They don't leave anyone behind.
No one has a story about a polar bear. There's a reason.
That's wild. Oh my God. That, I can't imagine the PTSD. I can't, like, the fact that that man survived, I'm still shocked.
Well, and I went down such a rabbit hole reading about other people that had been attacked. It's, you know, it's not uncommon in the sense that you can find a lot of people that have been attacked by bears and survived. And the stories are almost all what they have in common is, I wasn't doing anything fucked up, but there were kids, there were cubs, and the mom perceived me for whatever reason as a threat.
You know, they do call people mama bear, and I think there's a reason for that. My right. nephew's favorite animal is a bear. Do you think I should tell him? He's six. Do you think I should tell him about this story to see if it's still his favorite?
Yes.
Hey, Liam, you love bears? Sit down. Let me tell you a little bedtime story. Come on. Sit on my lap. Come on over.
This is scary.
Thank you for sharing that story. That's so scary. I'm sorry I made fun of you the first story. I had to because it was really funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm also not. Okay, so I'm going to give you a choice. Which story do you want? Do you want a missing woman? Do you want a glitch man? I'm trying to
missing
keep it
woman.
Vague. Missing woman? Okay, great. Hey, you want a missing woman? I got a missing woman for you, Quinn. I got this from Wikipedia, Guardian, Brisbane Times, you know, a lot of other stuff. Anyway, I'm going to introduce you to Natasha Ann Ryan. She is from Rockhampton, Queensland in Australia. It is 1998. She is 14 years old. And here's the deal. She's dating a 22-year-old guy.
And how old is she again?
She's 14.
14, okay.
She's 14.
So
I love that.
So he's breaking the law.
Yeah, it's 1998, so I'm sure, you know, they're blaming women more than, you know, either way, it's not a good look. And it's 1998, and July of that year, she runs away from home. And they find her 2 days later, and it turns out she was running away with the help of her boyfriend. Her mom did not approve from this relationship, if we can call it that. It wasn't a good situation. So it's August 31st, and her mom drops her off at school. And like every parent's greatest nightmare, she doesn't show up and she is soon reported missing. And so they embark on a huge search for her. Of course, the first person they ask is going to be her boyfriend. He has no idea where she is. They then suspect that it could be her best friend, who is Mauha Tokotua, who is 15 years old. And they accuse her best friend of killing Natasha. But while they are searching for her around the same time, so she goes disappearing in August of 1998. And around that time, there are some other missing women. Okay, there's Sylvia Benedetti, who's 19 years old. There's Beverly Lego, who's 36. And there's Julie Turner, who's 29. And there's Kira Steinhardt, who's 9. And those four women go missing between, it's a little bit later. So she disappeared August 31st, 1998. These women start going missing December 1998, and they go missing until April. All the while, they are searching for her, but all these other women start going missing. And so they end up finding, they end up like after Kira Steinhardt, I don't know if her body was found, but they're able to find the perpetrator. It's this guy, Leonard Frazier. He is 51 years old, and they can connect him to the murder of 9-year-old Kira Steinhardt. And that's what's crazy about these murders is, again, like, spoiler alert, but like Natasha's 14 years old. Kira, the youngest victim, is nine years old. The oldest is Julie Turner, who's 39 years old. So it's interesting to me as someone when we cover these cases to see women of such different ages within this. It wasn't like one specific target. So they catch up with 51-year-old Leonard Frazier, who has a huge history of rape. In fact, someone said between like the 20 of the 22 years before these crimes were committed, he spent 20 of them in prison for rape. And it seems as soon as he gets out, he goes on this killing spree and he starts killing his victims, which I do want to reference something I learned when I was doing psychology of serial killers is when there are serial rapists, it does escalate to serial murder because they realize if they leave their victims alive, they will be found out. If they mm-hmm. kill them, there's less of a chance of them being found out, and then they can continue doing this horrific thing. So as soon as he's arrested, they go into his house and they find trophies of his many victims. This includes 3 ponytails of human hair. He confesses to killing Kira, Sylvia, Beverly, and Julie. Although Julie, he's able to tell them where the remains are. He's not able to tell them where her head is, or they're not able to locate her head. So while they have enough evidence for the first 3, they don't have a full body for Julie, which is going to affect what's going to happen later, where, spoiler alert, he's going to get convicted of manslaughter on that. But he also confesses to killing Natasha Ryan, but they still don't have her body. He apparently was in jail and he told someone he knew where her body was and he drew a map, but they could not find them. He claimed he murdered her August, September of 1998, but then these other 4 victims started December of 1998. And so he signs a plea deal admitting to these 5 murders to avoid Gen Pop. Mm-hmm. He's a killer of women and a rapist. They dub him the Rockhampton Rapist. So they're searching everywhere for the remains of these women for over 2 years. And again, he gets busted in these, I would say like in 1999. And I don't know if he admits to killing Natasha until later, until this plea deal comes down, because they pin it on him because it's pretty close to when these other women went missing. Later on, he will admit to killing 5 other women during his life as a criminal, which spanned 30 years and was over 2 states in Australia. I just want to name some of the other victims of his that we don't have proof he wasn't convicted of, but he admitted to killing a hitchhiker named Sandy Lawrence in an abandoned crocodile zoo in 1982, which is just an incredibly dark sentence.
So scary, already a scary
really
place.
Scary. He also claimed to murder his 17-year-old Aboriginal girlfriend in the early 70s, and he also admitted to the murder of 2 female hitchhikers in the 1970s, and they also think he had a hand in the murder of another woman named Michelle Cora Lewis, who was 21 years old at the time. However, those 3 ponytails that I mentioned before, none of those match any of these victims.
Mm.
So let's go back to Natasha. So Natasha, but before all of this is revealed, Natasha's boyfriend has to stand trial for her earlier run escape attempt, right? Because he had aided and abetted her and he was older and she's 14. So they tried him, saying that he is guilty of obstruction of police because he told the officers he didn't know where she was initially upon that July runaway incident. Mm-hmm. And so in 1999, she's already missing again, but he has to go to court to answer for those crimes. And he says he still doesn't know where she is. In fact, her family, knowing that this Leonard Frazier is owning up to this murder, her family holds a memorial service for her, understanding that she is dead, even though they will never see her body. And that's on her 17th birthday in 2001. And then in 2003, Leonard Frazier's trial is underway. So as much as he signed over a plea deal, they still withstood trial to understand his sentencing and what was going on. And that's how one of his victims was downgraded to manslaughter, because they didn't find her full body, which we've seen that before. In 2003, in April, the police go to this trial and they go to the court and they say, hey, Natasha, the missing 14-year-old girl, is actually not one of his victims. In fact, she is alive and well.
What?
The police get an anonymous tip saying that she is at this house somewhere, and they do a raid in this house in North Rockhampton on the night of April 10th, 2003, and they find her alive. She is 18 years old. She is hiding in a bedroom cupboard. She has been living with her boyfriend, Scott Black, since she disappeared August 31st, 1998.
For 4 years?
Yeah, for almost 5 years. They find her in 2003. She disappeared in 1998.
And she's so in a cupboard?
She is in a cupboard.
What's her deal?
So most of the time, the two of them shared a house. So as soon as she disappeared, Scott knew where she was the entire time. In fact, she's been living with him the entire time. She does not live her whole life in a cupboard. In fact, the media will dub her the girl in the cupboard. She does not live her whole life in the cupboard. In fact, she's only there when visitors come to visit her boyfriend, Scott. The rest of the time, she has free rein to walk around the house as long as the curtains are drawn. In fact, her and her boyfriend moved away to another part of Queensland, but they had just recently, in 2003, they just recently moved back to Rockhampton because Scott, who was a milkman, got a job transfer back in Rockhampton. By the time they find her, she is a few kilometers away from her family home. So she's been aware. She's been watching her family search for her body. She's been watching a serial killer take credit for her murder, all while she's alive with her boyfriend at the time. She says that she learned yoga positions to hide comfortably in the cupboard when Scott would have visitors.
Scott, maybe don't have visitors if you've got a friend that needs to hide in a cupboard.
Or maybe not. Don't hide a 14-year-old girl in your home. She learned to sew. She practiced German from the internet while she was hiding. She also admitted to leaving the house 6 times in the 4.5 years she was in hiding.
Wow.
So she was like, they say, some news article was like, she bleached her skin. And I don't think that's true. I think she just didn't see sunlight for 4.5 years, her whole life, like her whole adult life.
She must have had like a crazy vitamin D deficiency.
Crazy. She also talked about visiting the beach once at midnight. She was like, I really want to see the water. I guess I'll go at midnight, which made me go, don't go swimming. That's where the sharks will get you. You're in Australia.
Right.
So when she was found alive, think about this. She was a part of a murder trial for this serial killer. And when she was found alive, it cast doubt on a lot of the evidence that they had of this guy who did murder these young women, these women. And so what's really wild is, it cast a doubt, and his defense attorneys did not call a mistrial. But what was interesting is that she even attended her own murder trial to answer questions. Of course, she was no longer a part of the trial or the accusations, but she had to prove that she was not, in effect, a victim of his and answered question on the stand.
They're like, were you killed by him?
Were you killed by her? Right here. And she's like, no, I'm actually here. I've been here the whole time.
I'm not.
The cupboard girl. In 2003, Leonard Fraser was sentenced to 4 indefinite jail terms for killing the 3 Rockhampton women and schoolgirl. Again, I'm going to say their names. Kira Steinhardt, who was 9 years old. Sylvia Benedetti, who was 19. Beverly Lejo, who was 36. And Julie Turner, who was 39. Like I said, Julie Turner, he was convicted of manslaughter because he told them where her remains were, but they could not find her head. So they could not find how she was killed. So they couldn't properly charge him for that. In 2005, Natasha and Scott had their own day in court. Scott Black got a 3-year sentence for perjury because part of the serial killer's trial, there was a letter from Scott Black saying that he didn't know where Natasha was. So he submitted this faulty perjured evidence into the serial killer trial. Mm. It's claimed that he didn't see or hear from his girlfriend since she went missing. But he got 3-year sentence with a 2-year suspended. In 2006, Natasha was found guilty of causing a false police investigation, and she was fined $1,000. But police prosecutor Terry Gardner was like, wait. Because as soon as the media went crazy with this and they all, you know, because they had heard about her being the victim of a murder, everybody looked for her. She took up a lot of time and energy from both the media and the police. The media gave her a contract for $120,000 to share her story. They produced that evidence, that contract at trial, and was like, hey, she should pay back the like $150,000 plus like what it cost the police to investigate her as a missing person as well as her murder. However, the magistrate said that she didn't have the means to pay the costs of the investigation. But in the same court proceedings, her boyfriend Scott was punished by being fined $3,000 and ordered to pay $16,000 towards the investigation costs. I think it's an interesting thing, too, because she was 14 when this happened and she was 18 when she was discovered. So she is an adult. But I guess the question I have for in this kind of case that I didn't get the total answer, but something that I think about is like, how culpable is she? And should Scott Black be the one who is more culpable because he was the adult, he was the grown up, and she was a 14-year-old? I think that's
it's just so hard. Yeah. Cause it's like a 14-year-old's going to make a bad decision.
Totally.
And like, if they make a decision like this, it's sort of like a decision of joining a cult where then somebody's issuing a certain amount of, like, exacting control over them in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. they're not thinking of themselves as free agents. And if it starts to become, you get deeper and deeper in where it's, you know, they're talking to somebody that hasn't had a conversation with anyone but him for 4 years, right?
For 4.5 years, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
If he's the only person she's seen and speaking to, and it's since she's a kid, there's an element. It reminds me of like when we covered like the woman in the box that like the guy had kidnapped and kept in the box, mm-hmm. which I have like another story Nightmares I'm going to tell about that. But it reminds me of that in the sense that there were people in those situations, Elizabeth Smart, they take all these moments and they say, why didn't you say anything here or here? These were all mm-hmm. your chances to get away. And it feels like it psychologically, a lot's going on that's inhibiting these people from thinking that's an option.
Totally. And I think at that point, when she made the decision to go with Scott, and just by happenstance, these like series of murders happened after her. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was too, like, when is the moment that you speak up? When is the moment? And also, she felt like her mom did not like this relationship, which, spoiler alert, your mom was right. Like, your mm-hmm. mom was right. But your mom didn't like this relationship, and so you felt the need to run away, which you had tried to a month prior. And then in mm-hmm. this one, it's like they would have kept looking for her. It's what blows my mind is I'm like, was she hiding in this cupboard the whole time? And Scott, like, keep in mind, Scott went to trial in 1999 for, you know, for saying he lied and didn't know her, all while he had her in his sights and knew where he was. Mm. She tried to escape in July of 1998. she disappeared August 1998. 1999, he's like, that's so crazy. He got a slap on the wrist for lying the first time, all while knowing that she's been gone the whole time. And then as soon as the serial killer gets caught, he takes credit, which my assumption is this person obviously was unwell. I don't think any serial killer is a well person, but my assumption is this person has a shit ton more victims. Mm-hmm. As I said, I laid out a couple of possibilities, but there were three ponytails of human hair that we still don't have victims, and mm-hmm. they believe these were trophies that this man kept. So I'm sure through their investigation, like, we know this is you. It matches, like, it's a young woman. You have a history of attacking and murdering young women, raping and killing and strangling young women. What's this one? They're able to solve and close the case. And from the police perspective, this is their guy. So it's like, and then you have this like 15, 16 year old girl at this time who hasn't been in contact with anyone else going, well, I can't come out now. And by the time the police, they get this anonymous tip, we're like well into the trial of Leonard Frazier. And it's like, oh shit, does this throw all the other admissions, confessions into limbo? Do we know this is him? Like, Leonard Frazier has his defense attorney still declares his innocence. I'm not one to believe his innocence. I wasn't able to find how he was caught or for what reason, because all of this was in regards to the Natasha Ryan of it all. But this is someone who served a lot of time, and they found trophies in his possession. So mm-hmm. I'm not questioning whether he did it or not. But I do think it's an interesting conversation of this 14-year-old who's making, quote, decisions on her own. It's not in a vacuum. And this man, well, I will tell you what has happened. So again, he had some time in jail. She was fined. Both of them got a slap on the wrist. I don't know about the family reunion between her and her family. Well, that's not true. I think I do know. I think they obviously were so excited that this person who they memorialized, who they buried, like, is alive. I can't imagine the joy of discovering that this person who you thought was dead is now back in your life. So Leonard Frazier was spending the rest of his life behind bars as soon as he was arrested. Obviously, the trial came later, but in 2007, he died in his sleep in prison from cardiac arrest. And with him, he takes to the grave the names of the many, many, I'm sure many more victims mm-hmm. that he claimed in his lifetime. Kira, the 9-year-old's father, said that he is glad he is gone. He said, quote, I think it's now actually going to let me get on with my life. It's been an emotional roller coaster ride for the last 7 years, and I think it's finally time to get off. In 2008, a year after his death, Natasha and Scott get married. And she says, I'm sick of being known as Natasha Ryan, the girl in the cupboard. I made mistakes, and I'm sorry that I hurt my family, but now I want to start a new life. She went on to become a nurse, and her and Scott had 4 children. She's a mother of 4. And June 2nd, 2024, so just this year, at the age of 40 years old, her husband called the police saying that his wife was missing. He didn't know where she was. And she was found dead by the police at a Rockhampton golf course. Her death was classified as not suspicious.
What was the cause of death?
They don't reveal the cause of death, but she's 40 years old. Do you think it was vitamin D deficiency? Too soon.
God, this is really crazy, this turn.
I think this story has so many crazy turns that are just like, here's the facts. Four kids dead at 40. Yeah. And she married the man that she ran away from home to be with in 2008.
It's not classified as suspicious.
She's dead at a golf course. I wonder if there was, where my mind went, honestly, Quinn, was possible, like, it could have been drugs or alcohol. Like, I don't know. I mean, that
sounds like you've not had the chillest life.
Or, you know, pretty cushy. You've been in doing nothing for 4.5 years except learning to sew and
sitting in the cupboard. German.
Sitting in the cupboard. She learned a lot of yoga while she was there. I mean, I don't know her death, but I do know, like, her sister did make a statement saying that she was loved and beloved and that she's going to miss her. And that there were a lot of, there was, I mean, but I can't imagine as a family, I mean, they did not rule what her death was. I don't, you know, all of that is conjecture. We do know that the police said it was not suspicious. Her family has now had to mourn her twice, which is incredibly heartbreaking. But also, I'm so glad that she was alive and they were able to have how many more years with her? So 20 more and more years. You know, she was found in 2003. She had 21 extra years of life with her family, you know? But they didn't really talk about it. But she went on. She was a really big, it was a very big news story in Australia. And obviously, they gave her a contract to cover it. When her and Scott got married, there was a publication that paid for the wedding so that they could get, like, first pictures. You know what I mean? It's not the same at all, but it feels a little bit like the Gypsy Rose of it all. Like, it feels a little bit like how our contemporary brain is like, what's going on with Gypsy Rose? It felt like the girl in the cupboard became like a very well-known media storm, mm-hmm. and that everybody was clamoring for her story, and she got paid a lot of money for it, and then went on to become a nurse and live a life of her own. And she decried, she really hated the idea that she was the girl in the cupboard. And her family really came to her defense and said she was a mom who loved her four kids and she was a nurse and her coworkers loved working with her. Mm-hmm. And she went on to have like a seemingly normal life until her untimely death at the age of 40.
Wow, 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 wee, wow, 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 wow.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
I know it's a little confusing with the serial killer in between, but I had to cover it because it's crazy.
It's crazy on so many levels. Thank you for covering it. You did a beautiful job. You knew what the story was?
Barely. I had a similar experience doing this story. I was like, I hope I can make sense of this like little break and not reveal the turn that Natasha has been alive the whole time. Until now, she's not alive. Like, it's pretty, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of turns in the story. But
my thoughts go out
to the many victims of Leonard Frazier. May he rot in hell. And I'm mad that he died peacefully in his sleep from cardiac arrest. They did obviously investigate his death as well, because they were like, there's a possible, I mean, that guy has got a target on his back for sure. But with him, he took the knowledge of a lot of his criminal activity, mm-hmm. and possibly the names of the many victims that he preyed on in the 30 years that he spent as a criminal.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. Do you want to see something?
Hmm. What is that? Oh, your little dog.
That's a dog.
I was like, what is that? What the fuck is that?
Look at her. She's just a little ball.
Do you
want to
hear
a
head count on the party tomorrow?
A head count on the party? Yeah, yeah. I do.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 adults.
Wait.
1,
2, wait.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 kids.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Hey, let's actually talk about this really fast. Okay, wait. I need to know something. Wait, did I help you with a paperless post?
No. You will laugh so hard when you see the invitation.
Quinn, because you said it, and I was like, yeah, I can help you later, and then you never reached out. But
yeah, okay. Well, the invitation.
Your loss. I'm just kidding.
I didn't know everybody's contact, because the way that I actually ended up doing it was just writing, like, doing a Word document that said, like, this is our house, this is the deal, da-da-da-da-da, and then printing a paper with a bunch of those and cutting it, and then each kid gave it to Griff's teacher, and each kid brought one home in their backpack.
Oh,
you know, because it's like, I don't know,
15
all these parents.
People. Wait, where's everybody gonna go?
I had hoped we could do it outside, but now tell me what you think. All right,
it snowed yesterday here in New York.
It snowed in,
Eldred, in Chicago.
The boys just sent pictures of Eldred, and
it was beautiful. All right. It was really beautiful.
I'm gonna give you. I wish that this would come out in time for all the dear readers to weigh in, but the party's tomorrow, so it's like, all right, the hours of the party are 2:30 to 4:30 tomorrow, and it looks like, weather-wise, we're going to be dealing with, it says, 49, 47, 46, and the real feel between 35 and 40. You can't do a yard party, right?
I I mean, I think people have done Bears tailgates colder than that. My question, oh, that's so tough.
Like the could, deal is you can't, that the kids about, are going to decorate crowns. Doing a, they're going to run around and play. We're going to have hot dogs and cake. It's 2 hours. It's not that long. But I'm like, it does it seem like really aggressive to have it in the yard and make everyone be like in winter coats?
Well, how? When do you need to call it?
I don't know.
I say wake up at one. I say at 1 o'clock. I say wake up.
I don't need to tell anyone. I would put a sign on the door that says
come. Exactly.
But it's like I do need to wake up and be like, are we having a party in our house?
Like, or, I know. That's so tough. In our yard. 15 adults is tough. That's the thing. Is like the 13 kids, because like they can go and that's tough.
I don't know if we have enough like room. I gotta ask Matt what he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing too: is I'd be like, "Oh, you should just like light a fire outside," but also then you have like kids around a fire because I'm like, "Oh, that'll be keep people warm," but then also you don't know the, but you also don't know the, but also you don't know where the parents and if the parents are narcs and they tell on you for having open fire in your backyard.
Oh, I always assume parents are not narcs. Like, people love a fire; they'd be happy to be near one.
I know, but also with 4-year-olds, there's also that worry about parents being like, "There's a fire."
I'd really rather have it outside because we also have like dinner company and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also people, and also having it outside might let people leave earlier.
All right, I'm going to talk to Matt about it. We have not said anything to anybody and the invitation said bring coats because if it's warm enough, it will be in the yard. So no one knows what my idea of warm enough is.
You know what? These are facts. You could also have it both. You could also be like, there's outside. If you want to go outside, you can go inside. Like,
it's
the kids are playing.
It's just too separate. Because it's not like we're on the ground floor.
That's tough. My mom is also dealing with that, where my mom invited a bunch of people to her to the condo down in Florida. And they all RSVP'd yes. And my mom goes, shit, where are we going to put them all? And it is stressful. But also, you know what? What I told my mom is this. One, and I stand by this for you. You're a really good host. You'll make it fun no matter where you are. And two, this is a New York City party. People are not like renting out a fucking hall to have everyone. You invited a bunch of people to the party. Like, they're going to, if they don't like it, they can leave early. That's on them.
I think I kind of want it outside.
I think you do want it outside. I know you want it outside because it makes way more sense to be outside. The kids can play. What?
Oh my God. It's just like we dropped off Griff today at school and he was screaming and now he's home. He just got home from school. He screamed.
You looked at me so scared.
Like I'm like.
You just looked at me like, oh no.
There's a killer in the house and his name is Griffin Posner and he's going to be 4 tomorrow. And he wants blood.
He's out for blood.
And I'd rather
all right, let's stop recording
be with a grizzly
and
bear
let's...
than him right now.
Oh my God. Wild. All right. Hey, dear readers, happy Thanksgiving and happy beginning of the holiday season, unless you started early, which in case, enjoy your joy. Goodbye.
Bye, dear readers.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.